military preparedness. Upon graduation from high school, every male in Israel is required to enter the military for 3 years of service. Every graduating female is required to go into the service for 2 years. After the time of service is up, they're still required to spend 1 month out of every year in reserve training until age 51. There's a sense in which every citizen is always considered a part of the army. In Israel, military preparedness is the norm. And the New Testament indicates that something similar is expected of the church. While it is not the militancy of the sword, the imagery in the scriptures and on the lips of Jesus in describing the mission of the church is borrowed from the military world. An army's readiness is one of its most important qualities, and it seems that the church today certainly has an adequate number of troops. We have considerable training opportunities available to us. What we lack is the ability to come together for action, to be mobilized. Often it is assumed that the best way to carry out the mission of the church is to hire a preacher or a ministerial staff and let them handle the engagements necessary for the battle to be won. But have you ever heard of an army whose general was the only one in the fight? For an army to be successful, it has to have a skilled, trained, and mobilized rank and file. That's no less true in the kingdom of God, and in the warfare that is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities and spiritual forces of evil, Ephesians 6:12. There are some important biblical texts that speak to the issue of the mobilization of the laity. One of the most important ones is found in Exodus, in the account of Moses being visited by his father-in-law Jethro. It begins, "The next day Moses sat to judge the people, and the people stood around Moses from morning till evening. When Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people, he said, 'What is this that you are doing for the people? Why do you sit alone, and all the people stand around you from morning till evening?' And Moses said to his father-in-law, 'Because the people come to me to inquire of God. When they have a dispute, they come to me, and I decide between one person and another, and I make them know the statutes of God and his laws.'" Exodus 18, 13-16. Jethro saw Moses ministering to the people all day long. He scratched his head and said, "Moses, what are you doing?" We can almost read between the lines here and detect the slightest hint of pride on Moses' part, or at least a sense of a feeling of accomplishment of a job well done, as he explains his crucial role in leading and judging the people. Instead of congratulating Moses, Jethro lectured him. Moses' father-in-law said to him, "What you are doing is not good. You and the people with you will certainly wear yourselves out, for the thing is too heavy for you. You are not able to do it alone." Verses 17 and 18. Notice that Jethro didn't come to Moses and say he was worried that Moses had bitten off more than he could chew, and that it might not end well. Rather, he spoke in certainties. This state of affairs would surely wear Moses and the people out. It's not any good for anyone when people think that they can handle all of the affairs of God by themselves. It simply cannot be done. Jethro then gave Moses a solution. "Now, obey my voice, I will give you advice, and God be with you. You shall represent the people before God and bring their cases to God, and you shall warn them about the statutes and the laws, and make them know the way in which they must walk and what they must do. Moreover, look for able men from all the people, men who fear God, who are trustworthy and hate a bribe, and place such men over the people as chiefs of thousands, of hundreds, of fifties, and of tens, and let them judge the people at all times. Every great matter they shall bring to you, but any small matter they shall decide themselves. So it will be easier for you, and they will bear the burden with you."